The following lecture, titled Muslim Americans Planning and Developing Neighborhoods for All to Benefit, was recorded Sunday, December the 13th, 1998, at the Northwest Activity Center in Detroit, Michigan. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. And now, Imam Muhammad.
So that God says of this great material scheme, that means the whole world, everything you see up there, out in front of you, behind, everywhere, down, everywhere. He says, it is supported by something that you can't see with your eyes. Now, God says that in the scripture 1,400 years ago. After hearing that revelation from God about how the stars are supported up there, studious followers of the prophet, his students, they will say disciples, his students, they began to study the heavens as astronomers. They began to study the skies and the objects in the skies, the moon, the sun, how it follows from sunrise to sunset, the moon, how it goes through phases, the stars, how they change in the heavens from one position to another in the skies. They began to study all that, and they revived the sciences. We call astronomy. They revived that knowledge. It was lost. The world during this time had gone away from those things. They had started making all the heavens become the skies, and the objects there had a place only in their religious symbolism, in metaphysics, in symbolism, in a language that was addressing the spiritual side of life. But they had no scientific thinkers studying the world objectively. That had been lost. They had it before. Africa had that kind of science before. Asia had it before. The Greeks had it before. But they had gone to sleep. They had neglected that kind of scientific study. And it was the Quran and Muhammad that revived their interest in that and caused them to study it again. So God says the big objects up there in the space, now they didn't know they were big, they appeared to be very small. But we don't need any very complicated theories to have us understand that those objects out there are not small but big. All you need is common sense. Now, you know, if you can see a house, and that house in the distance, and you know the distance is far, it appears to be three feet high, you know with common sense that as you get closer to it, it's going to get higher and higher. And pretty soon it's going to look just like all other houses. It's going to be high, just like the houses in your near surrounding. You know that. Michelangelo, the great painter from Italy. You go to the great St. Peter's Cathedral, and you see Michelangelo's pictures of a bird and people in the cathedral. And he knew by common sense. He knew that the bird up there at a height of 20 feet or 30 feet in the building should not look like the in size like the bird that's right before your face, only 2 or 3 feet from your eyes. So he made it to appear smaller, so it looks real. If he made it the same size, then that bird would, in the thinker, in the mind of a person that's thinking, would say, hey, that bird ain't supposed to be that big. That bird at that distance wouldn't look that big. So if we see in the nighttime a bright star, and it seems to be far, much farther away from our eyes, physical eyes, than the sun, we must then reason with common sense that that object is really bigger than our sun. Because it's so much farther away than our sun, and it appears to be the size of a quarter. So really, if we could go there and see it, it must be much, much bigger than our sun. So we didn't need the scientists really to get their telescopes and tell us. They lie. They want you to think that they got more sense than they got. The telescopes tell them a lot, but they didn't need a telescope to tell them that. All they need was Michelangelo's common sense to know that those big objects appearing sometimes as big as a hen egg in the sky, but seem to be much, much farther away from us than the sun. Common sense says they must be much, much bigger than the sun. Now, some of you all having pain in your head. You can't follow this common sense language. Why? Because you're rebellious. You don't want to follow it. You got your own, you made your conclusion, and your conclusion, you want to hold on to it no matter what I say. And you don't hate me. You just have a problem in your brain. And I hope I'm helping you with it. Yes. So, you know, I've been on this beach, and I've watched boats come in Chicago, Lake Michigan. And I've seen those boats coming in, and in the distance, they appear to be no bigger sometimes than me. Whole boat seems like it ain't no bigger than I am. By the time that boat gets to the beach, it's a big boat. So God says of those objects up there, see how they appear to have nothing supporting them? What's holding them up there? Now we know science now. Science have explained it to us. What's holding them up there is what they call universal gravitation. Universal gravitation. Each body is like a magnet, having its own force field, and they work on each other like magnets holding each other in their orbits or at certain distances. They're holding each other. And if a smaller one comes too close to a bigger one, it will be drawn to that bigger one and will collapse upon that bigger one. Like the meteorites that fall from the sky, they get too close to us. And the earth just draws them right on in. The gravity is too strong for them. They got too close. Pulls them right on in like a big magnet, and they fall on our ground. Yes. So we know what holds us in check. But what is this invisible force coming from a material body that's so powerful it can hold billions and trillions of tons of material in check? What is that invisible force? You can't taste it. You can't see it. You can't smell it. You can't feel it with your hand. You can't weigh it with a scale. No, you can't weigh it with a scale. Not directly. You can't take it out there in the air. You got to weigh the body. And come up with a theory for calculating the gravitational pull or the magnetism. That's what you have to do. You can't take the magnetism itself. You can't take the universal gravity itself and take it out of the air. It's in the air. It's holding everything. You can't take it and put it on a scale. It weighs nothing. Itself weighs nothing. It has no taste. Can't feel it. Can't smell it. Can't hear it. Nothing. It can't reach your five senses except by reference, theory, understanding, the scientific laws of the matter. That's the only way you can know it. But we don't have to go to that, which is a little more difficult to understand. Look at the water. Water, something so flimsy, something so weak, carries more weight to be transported from one nation to the other than the train, than the choo-choo train, the railroad train, or the electric train, or the diesel train. No train can carry as the load that a ship can carry on that water. Now, there's a way to understand it, sure. The water in its mass is fluid. It opens up and gives space to whatever you put in it. But if you have air occupying a hollow, then it's going to displace a lot of water, and the water around it, the force of the water around it, is going to be much stronger than the vessel itself. So it's going to push the vessel up, hold the vessel up. Like a little light balloon, you put it on the water, it's got air, so it can't do anything but just ride the water. So you see how complicated the material world is? And they tell us the spiritual world is complicated. They tell us believing in God is complicated. No, believing in this material world is complicated. That's why poor people with no sense can't do anything with it at all. It's the brainy people that can do something with it. Now, we want a religion that's so stupid, we have him no questions. No questions. I don't want a religion that's stupid. God has given us a religion that's more intelligent than the material science. More intelligent than the material world. It's more intelligent than their perception of the material world, than their understanding of the material world. What God has given us as faith and religion is more intelligent than that. It's perfectly intelligent. But it takes faith, just like it takes faith in what I've told you. Now, you know this world going on. They making it. They got atomic bomb. They discovered atomic energy. They got all that. They discovered how to break the gravity of Earth. They got vessels going out beyond the Earth and going to the moon, going to other places. You know they got all that. And you know you don't understand it. But you accept it, and you obey them. Right? They bring you, give you a TV and show you something going on. You can't follow that picture. You go out there and look outside your house. You don't see any pictures coming in your house, coming through the wire, coming into your house and jumping into the wire like Star Trek or something and coming out on your screen. You don't see that. You can't tell us how a picture come over your wire. You can't tell us. You'll be forever. If they gave you 10,000 lives, trees will be gone on Earth, and you'll still be around here right where you are now, not knowing the first step to tell us how that picture come over your television tube from way across in another country on the side of the world in your living room, just like they're there. So this is the world that you should question. But you want to question the world of religion. That's much more easier for you to understand and live. Praise be to Allah. So God says, this religion is for the muttaqeen. The Quran, the scriptures, you're not going to get it if you are not the muttaqeen. This is the book, without doubt. It is guidance. I'm quoting the scripture now. I'm quoting the Quran for you, the holy book of the Muslim. Without doubt, guidance for the muttaqeen. What is the meaning of the word muttaqeen? It means conscious people. Conscious people. That's what muttaqeen means. Conscious. But conscious of certain things in the context of the book. Firstly, God. Conscious of God. Aware of God. keeping God before their mind's eye. Remembering God, keeping God before their mind's eye. And they are conscious of their duty to that God. They are conscious of the respect that they are to give their parents, the elderly people in the community, their obligations to the weak, the young, the widows, the orphans, etc. So they are the muttaqin. They are the people that are conscious in the religion. They are conscious in the Quran. They are not sleeping in the Quran. They are not sleeping in the religion. Their eyes are open to the religion, to the matters, to the matters of faith and religion that God has given them. Their eyes are open to it, not closed to it. They're not sleeping in the religion or in the matters of the religion, before the matters of the religion. They're not snoring. They are conscious and awake. This is what's going to get you help, the big help. We say this is the greatest country on earth, right? But how did it begin? It began with people who put God first. We're getting ready to put together a brochure, a book that will be put in the hands of distributors and others who want to sell our products, CPC, Collective Purchasing Conference products. We're getting ready to put a book in their hands, introducing the company, introducing the idea. And I selected to put a $10 bill on, I think, the second page of the book, after the cover. And to have an arrow pointing at the language on the green side of the bill. In God we trust. In God we trust. Now, how many of us are putting "in God we trust" on the most important thing that we are doing or creating? Huh? How many of us are putting "in God we trust" on it? So this nation is not great because it has a lot of money, or because it found a lot of money, or because it has a lot of material things. This country is great because it put God first. The founding fathers put God first. They say we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed, that means are blessed by their Creator. God has given them this, the Creator has given them, as a blessing, as their rights, certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is the beginning of the language upon which this whole nation stands. Do you understand that? Find me people who put God out. They went the way of the grave, just like the economy of Russia. So we put faith first. That's what it's all about. Faith in God first. There is a saying, "Heed you the word of the Lord," from Bible, "and live, and live." So what is the life of the believer? Obedience to the word of God. Obedience, obey the word of God. Then you can have a life. And we think it means a spooky life. No, it means all life. If you heed the words of the God that he gave the prophets, the great prophets, if you heed those words for your life, for your guidance, for the protection of your life, you will have the life. If you don't heed those words, you won't have the life. You'll have the death. And what is the death? All forms of death. What is the life? All forms of life. when the Quran came from by way of the angel Jibreel to Muhammad the prophet, and a man gave it to us, Muhammad, gave it to other men and women and children, what happened to that society? It didn't only come alive spiritually. It's in the history. That society came alive in every way. Spiritually, rationally, materially, academically, in every way that society came alive. In business, every way, everything just boom. Became big, prosperous, productive, very successful.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam W. Dean Muhammad will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad and mailed to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. And now back to today's program.
What happened? They stopped putting first things first. They stopped earning the help of God by neglecting the most important thing. God first, faith first, obedience to God first. So then they were hearing and weren't hearing. And isn't that what God said? God says, because of your own actions, a deafness will come in your ears. And you will hear and not hear. Blindness will come in your eyes. You will see and not see. And therefore, when you speak as a dummy and not as an intelligent person. Because you can't see and you can't hear. This is what God says. It's not me talking. I'm only giving you what God says. I don't have anything except what God gave. So the people were told before Muhammad's time, the time of Jesus Christ and others, to heed the word of God and live. Live in every respect. And we are asked to do what? To say as the best of the followers say, as the best of the believers say, it's in the holy book Quran. We hear and what? We obey. That's life. That's the guarantee that you're going to have life. Don't be suspicious of God. Don't trust this world with all of your future and everything. And don't trust God who made it. Trust God above the world. Trust God above the United States government. Trust God above the president, the White House staff, above the Senate and the Congress. Above the police force, above the military of this world. Trust God. And you'll see a change come in your life. You'll see God working with you. Aiding everything that you have in your power, your resources. Aiding it and aiding all of your efforts to do good. God will be doing that. Can any one of you lead this community now with me in here? Can you take my place? That's because you have not come as close to God as I have. You have not committed yourself to obey God and trust Him firstly as I have. You have done it, but you haven't done it to the extent that I've done it. You don't keep a conscious awareness of God before everything else like I do. You do it, but not as much as I do. If any of you will equal me, then you'll be equal to me. If any of you will go more than further than me, I will be behind you. That's real. I didn't say that for you to look at me. I said that for you to look at the truth and know that God is the answer. Allahu Akbar. This is guidance for the God-conscious people. guidance for those who put God first and want to know what God says about it before they want to know what somebody else says about it. And then after they heed or hear the word of God, they act upon it. And they become devoted to it. Devoted means that you make it your interest. You make it your daily interest. It becomes your daily concern to live it and to make progress with it. That's what devoted to something means. You have a constant now obligation to it. Something that you have to wake up every day with. So what are we supposed to wake up every day with? God is greater. God is bigger. That's the first thing you're supposed to hear when you awaken from your sleep. Allahu Akbar. If we had a person calling the prayer in the morning, the fajr time, like we're supposed to have in our neighborhood, we'd have this if we put some material investment in it. We can have this. You will be hearing not the alarm clock. You will be hearing something more important than the alarm clock. You will be hearing Allahu Akbar. God is the bigger. God is the greater. That's what you will be hearing. So that's telling you to start your day knowing that nothing is bigger, greater, or more important than God. That's what that's saying. And then after that's repeated for a number of times, you repeat them, I bear witness that there is no God but God. If God is greater, then what can be a God other than God? If God is the bigger, can the smaller be equal with the bigger? No. A big God and some little God? The order of family life tell us that when daddy or mama is there, you don't look at one of the lesser gods. And God turn you over to the angels that take you to the hellfire, you'll get another spirit. And I ain't talking about after this world is finished. I'm talking about right now in this world. I'm talking about like tomorrow morning. Like tomorrow morning, God can let you go and your life becomes such a mess, such a big hell, till you'll be just like somebody that the angels have taken into the hellfire. You'll be miserable with no hope. So after life, conscious life, then we have to commit ourselves. We have to pledge our allegiance to God before the United States, before anything else. We have to pledge our allegiance to God. We have to be committed to God, to serve Him, to obey Him, to do what His Word says. And then devote ourselves every day to making our life better for God's sake, better as God wants it to be, for carrying out our responsibilities to our families, to our children, to our wives and our children, to our household, brother. Carry out that responsibility in a way that you think will make God say, he is a conscious person doing a good job. Yes. And then you want to watch your behavior, because your behavior pattern, the pattern you set for your behavior, it must tell everybody you're God-fearing. It must tell everybody that you obey God first. If you're raising hell every day in the house, calling people ugly names, family members ugly names, ain't no peace in your house, that tells me that you are not a person that puts God first.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-798-7867 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.